Now, gentlemen, sweeping a ship's deck at sea is a piece of household work which in all times but raging gales is regularly attended to every evening. It has been known to be done in the case of ships actually foundering at the time. Such, gentlemen, is the inflexibility of sea usages and the instinctive love of neatness in seamen, some of whom would not willingly drown without first washing their faces. But in all vessels this broom business is the prescriptive province of the boys, if boys there be aboard. Besides, it was the stronger men in the town ho that had been divided into gangs taking turns at the pumps. And being the most athletic seaman of them all, Steelkilt had been regularly assigned captain of one of the gangs. Consequently, he should have been freed from any trivial business not connected with truly nautical duties, such being the case with his comrades. I mention all these particulars so that you may understand exactly how this affair stood between the two men. But there was more than this. The order about the shovel was almost as plainly meant to sting and insult Steelkilt as though Radney had spat in his face. Any man who has gone sailor in a whale ship will understand this. And all this, and doubtless much more, the Lakeman fully comprehended when the mate uttered his command. But as he sat still for a moment, and as he steadfastly looked into the mate's malignant eye and perceived the stacks of powder casks heaped up in him and the slow match silently burning along towards them, as he instinctively saw all this, that strange forbearance and unwillingness to stir up the deeper passionateness in any already ireful being, a repugnance most felt when felt at all by really valiant men, even when aggrieved, this nameless phantom feeling, gentlemen, stole over Steelkilt. Therefore, in his ordinary tone, only a little broken by the bodily exhaustion he was temporarily in, he answered him, saying that sweeping the deck was not his business, and he would not do it. And then, without at all alluding to the shovel, he pointed to three lads as the customary sweepers, who, not being billeted at the pumps, had done little or nothing all day. To this Radney replied with an oath in a most domineering and outrageous manner, unconditionally reiterating his command, meanwhile advancing upon the still-seated Lakeman with an uplifted cooper's club hammer, which he had snatched from a cask nearby. Heated and irritated as he was by his spasmodic toil at the pumps, for all his first nameless feeling of forbearance, the sweating Steelkilt could but ill brook this bearing in the mate. But somehow still smothering the conflagration within him, without speaking, he remained doggedly rooted to his seat, till at last the incensed Radney shook the hammer within a few inches of his face, furiously commanding him to do his bidding. Steelkilt rose, and slowly retreating round the windlass, steadily followed by the mate with his menacing hammer, deliberately repeated his intention not to obey. Seeing, however, that his forbearance had not the slightest effect, by an awful and unspeakable intimation with his twisted hand, he warned off the foolish and infatuated man. But it was to no purpose. And in this way the two went once slowly round the windlass, when, resolved at last no longer to retreat, bethinking him that he had now forborne as much as comported with his humor, the Lakeman paused on the hatches and thus spoke to the officer. "Mr. Radney, I will not obey you. Take that hammer away or look to yourself." But the predestinated mate, coming still closer to him, where the Lakeman stood fixed, now shook the heavy hammer within an inch of his teeth, meanwhile repeating a string of insufferable maledictions. Retreating not the thousandth part of an inch, stabbing him in the eye with the unflinching poniard of his glance, Steelkilt, clenching his right hand behind him and creepingly drawing it back, told his persecutor that if the hammer but grazed his cheek, he, Steelkilt, would murder him. But, gentlemen, the fool had been branded for the slaughter by the gods. Immediately the hammer touched the cheek. The next instant the lower jaw of the mate was stove in his head. He fell on the hatch, spouting blood like a whale. Ere the cry could go aft, Steelkilt was shaking one of the backstays, leading far aloft to where two of his comrades were standing their mastheads. They were both canallers. "Canallers!" cried Don Pedro. "We have seen many whale ships in our harbors, but never heard of your canallers. Pardon, who and what are they?"
Canallers, Don, are the boatmen belonging to our grand Erie Canal. You must have heard of it."
"Nay, senor. Hereabouts in this dull, warm, most lazy and hereditary land, we know but little of your vigorous north."
"Aye? Well then, Don, refill my cup. Your chicha is very fine, and ere proceeding further I will tell you what our canalers are, for such information may throw sidelight upon my story. For 360 miles, gentlemen, through the entire breadth of the state of New York, through numerous populous cities and most thriving villages, through long, dismal, uninhabited swamps and affluent, cultivated fields unrivaled for fertility, by billiard room and bar room, through the holy of holies of great forests, on Roman arches, over Indian rivers, through sun and shade, by happy hearts or broken, through all the wide, contrasting scenery of those noble Mohawk counties, and especially by rows of snow-white chapels whose spires stand almost like milestones, flows one continual stream of Venetianly corrupt and often lawless life. There's your true Ashanti, gentlemen. There howl your pagans, where you ever find them next door to you, under the long-flung shadow and the snug, patronizing lee of churches. For by some curious fatality, as it is often noted of your metropolitan freebooters that they ever encamp around the halls of justice, so sinners, gentlemen, most abound in holiest vicinities.
Is that a friar passing? Said Don Pedro, looking downwards into the crowded plaza with humorous concern.
Well, for our northern friend, Dame Isabella's Inquisition wanes in Lima, laughed Don Sebastian. Proceed, senor.
A moment, pardon, cried another of the company. In the name of all us Limese, I but desire to express to you, sir sailor, that we have by no means overlooked your delicacy in not substituting present Lima for distant Venice in your corrupt comparison. Oh, do not bow and look surprised. You know the proverb all along this coast, corrupt as Lima. It but bears out your saying, too. Churches more plentiful than billiard tables, and forever open, and corrupt as Lima. So too Venice. I have been there, the holy city of the blessed evangelist St. Mark. St. Dominic Purgit. Your cup, thanks, here I refill. Now you pour out again.